Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Scripture greets us with the words grace and peace of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, it could only be done because of God the Father sending Jesus the Son to become man amongst us and then to die and be resurrected. You know, this grace and peace cannot be guaranteed by any other than the triune God. So today we have Wes Heppner with us. He will be bringing the message. He grew up here in this church. Currently he lives in Seminole, Texas. Currently, he is the voice of the gospel message, the Low German program, or the Low German ministry there. And he's also the son of Abe and Martha Heppner that come to this church as well, or that are members here. So before we continue, let's bow for a word of prayer, after which we will follow with a couple of songs, and then he will come up. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for this privilege to get together and remind ourselves of the goodness that you have extended to every human being. Thank you, Lord, that it is a goodness that is so guarded that no one is able to take it away from another. Thank you, Lord, for this goodness, this grace, this peace, this joy, this strength, which is Jesus, which only you were qualified and chose to give. Also, Lord God, we want to thank you for the everlasting word of God that you have given us, that through which we can know this goodness, this grace, and this peace, and have a security that exceeds all the challenges that we will encounter in this life. As well, we thank you for each one that is present here this morning and for the prayers that have preceded them in taking part in this service. Lord God, we also pray for Wes as he leads the worship this morning. May the blessing that you rest upon him bless us all. And finally, Lord God, we give all honor and glory to you alone, for our hope is in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we'll have two songs, and then Wes will be coming up.
Take your red hymnal and turn to number 63, Joy to the World. Number 63.
Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Station number 67. Number 67.
Good morning and Merry Christmas to each one of you that's here today. The Bible says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that's the greatest news in the world. And you're here for it. And I am thankful that you're here for it. I'm not at home here, but I'm going to say welcome here. Thank you for being here. There are Sunday school teachers that I've had that are sitting here today. There are youth leaders that I've had, pastors that I've had. A godly heritage in the world we live in today is worth more than we know. If you think of your childhood, why were you born into a home where your parents loved God? You had enough food on the table. You had clothes, you had the things that we take for granted every day. Why? And 2 billion children in the world don't. It's a blessing, and sometimes we forget those things, that especially at Christmas time. As was already said, my name is Wes Hebner. That's probably the least important part of this message. And it is Christmas. It's the best news ever. And we talk a lot about Christmas and things that happen at Christmas and what are you going to do here and what are you going to buy here and who's coming over and family gatherings. But how much do we share that best news, that news of Jesus Christ? If I would ask you this question, this story that's been told over the years, when was the first time the story was told? Like the first time the Christmas story was told. Was it when Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Eden and God said, I will step on the head of the serpent? Was it when God came to Abraham and said, through you all nations of the world will be blessed? Was it when the prophet Isaiah said this, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given? I actually think the first time the Christmas story was told, it was told to a young girl, a young Jewish virgin, And the angel of the Lord came to her and told her that Jesus would be born. It's the first time in the Bible we read that, specifically that the time was come. This Christmas story, Jesus Christ, that a Savior would be born, the news that would change this woman's life forever, that would change the world forever, and if you let him change your heart forever, was told to this humble Jewish girl. And there's a lot in that story of this news that is told to this girl. One of the things that's been a blessing for me this last year is to read in the Bible the plan of salvation in simple stories that we read. Genesis chapter 15 talks about the covenant of Abraham. And guess what? God made the covenant. Abram watched, and all Abram had to do was believe. It's a picture of our salvation. We read of the story of the first miracle that Jesus did, making water into wine. What's the symbol of wine? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need that in our life. Our flesh needs to be changed into God, and he lives in us. And so there's many stories like that, and today we want to look at a text from Luke chapter 1 and look at this story and see how Mary's life was changed. And maybe we can look at our own life and see how our life is changed and see the similarity and see that Christmas story and what it really means. It's a picture of how we find God's grace and how that works. It's a picture of being born again, truly of God. It's the response in our life once we are saved. Do you know that I believe with all my heart that once you are saved and Jesus Christ moves into your life, the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs you, that your life changes forever? That's what happened to Mary. And I believe it should happen to you. So today, this news of Jesus Christ, the birth to Mary, the picture of our salvation, the miracle of the virgin birth, the miracle of your new birth, the willingness of this young girl to give her life for God so that a Savior could be born. And then we also want to look at our lives. Maybe you've heard the news hundreds of times. What's your response to that news? Is it, I've heard that a bunch of times? Is it, well, we have that every year? Or is there a freshness, a newness in your heart because it's Jesus? God himself came down as flesh at Christmas time to change your life, to change the course of history. Are you willing to let your life be changed? Before we go further, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we have the blessing to live in a country where we can worship you openly and freely. We thank you for each person that's come, for each Sunday school teacher, each youth leader, each usher, each sound person, each pastor, each deacon, each song leader, whatever their area of service is. Lord, bless them richly at this time for that. Lord, thank you for the gift of godly heritage. Bless those in our life that have given us a godly heritage, that have cared enough about us to take us to church, to lead us, to read to us, to be there for us, to love us. Heavenly Father, I pray at this time also especially for those families that have lost loved ones in this last year, where Christmas is a hard time. Christmas is a time where they are remembering that whole that was made through the death of a loved one. Lord, thank you that through Christmas, through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, there is an opportunity through your grace to see that loved one again. Lord, I just pray for strength for those people that have lost those loved ones and that you would shower them with your love. Heavenly Father, I pray for this message especially. I know Christmas is a time for excitement. Christmas is a time for joy. Help us to have that joy found in you. Help us to maybe lay aside the busyness of all of our Christmas planning for this 1 hour and concentrate on what your word is trying to say to us today. Lord, you have so much you want to say to us. Lead us, guide us with your spirit. I pray that my lips would speak your word, would be led by your spirit, and your word would be spoken in your will according to your way, and you would get all the honor and glory. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to read this text out of Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bible along, that's great. I think it's important to have our Bible so we can read Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. The Christmas story told for the first time ever. And here it is. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So just to set the scene, this is as far as we're going to read in the text. We're at the end of a 400-year period where basically nothing happens biblically, spiritually. There's no prophets, there's no word from God, there's been many bloody wars. Israel is in Roman captivity, paying high taxes, their farms and their businesses are very low, they're not allowed to succeed. They're basically slaves in their own land. But there's some that are still holding out hope for a Savior. There's some that are still waiting for God to send the Messiah. There's some that are still waiting for their coming King. I think of the world we live in today. It's a mess. There's vile sin that's been made normal. And if we look at today and we think, how can this keep going on? The answer is the same as it was then. It's that Jesus is coming. The answer is Jesus is coming. And there's a lot of people that have given up that hope. Peter talks about that. In the last days, there will be scoffers. They'll make fun of you when you say something like that. But the hope of the world today is the same as it was in the time of Mary. The same for the Israelites at that time in 2023. Nothing has changed. Jesus is coming. And our text starts with, and it says, in the sixth month. Time is important to God. God is never early. He's never late, but he's always on time. And when it says the sixth month, it doesn't talk about June. It's talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy. There's a special time. This time in history was reserved that God would send his son. God's plan of salvation was about to happen. Christmas is a special time. We don't know exactly the day Jesus was born. It's probably not December 25th. That's actually not that important. It's important that we celebrate, that we realize that what changed our life is the birth of Jesus Christ. His life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And that today he sits on the right hand of God, preparing a place for you and me. In our life today, we have times and seasons. I don't know what time and season you're in. Maybe you've had a really good year and you're thinking things are going well. I wish it would stay that way. I'm here to tell you it probably won't. Nothing stays good forever. Nothing stays bad forever either. This world changes constantly. We get older, our children get older, jobs change, relationships change, many things change. You know what shouldn't change? God's word. In our belief in him. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means? Before the earth was made, before Adam and Eve, God was one with Jesus Christ in his spirit. He is that way in 2023, and he will be in eternity. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we see this time. And it's interesting, if we look at the life of Mary, the Bible doesn't say much about her, but she's engaged to Joseph. For her, that will have been a good time. For those of you that are married or can remember back to your engagement time, what were your thoughts at that time? Like, it was exciting. That's all you could think about, that I'm getting married to my husband, or the husband is getting married to the wife, and this is an exciting time. Probably your friends and family, they got tired of you talking about it. Like, this is excitement. This is what my life is all about. And that's what Mary's life will have been. But God's presence was about to change her life. Do you know that sometimes good is the enemy of spiritual? We think we have it good. We're comfortable in our good. And God actually wants to tip our life upside down and turn our good into something spiritual. Turn our I like this into God's presence is there. God can interrupt our life sometimes when we think we're having a good time, we're doing good, and maybe in our mind we're thinking, if God would just leave me alone during this time. Our salvation is a little bit like that. If you don't come to a point in life where you realize you're lost, there's no hope for your salvation. You have to realize, as the Bible tells us, you are a sinner. You come short of the glory of God, and you need Jesus, the same Jesus that was born at Christmas. Mary might have thought to herself, my life is good. I'm excited for this marriage. And if we think of the ramifications of this young Jewish girl being pregnant, her engaged husband knowing nothing about it, never having been with her, it really did turn her life upside down. And yet God had a plan. God isn't in heaven when our life turns upside down saying, what's happening? I didn't think of this. God is never surprised. He has a plan. Now the question for you and me often is, are we willing to surrender to that plan like Mary did here? Are we too full of our own life and our own plans? Because we think we know better. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 28, here's the news. The angel comes, the sixth month. Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The Christmas story told for the first time to this young Jewish girl. And we want to go further into this story. I think now is maybe a good time to take a little bit of a break. And I think the song leaders have some more songs for us to sing. I also have some prayer requests here that I'd like to share with you. We're going to remember to pray for Abe Peters. I have here on my note, he's in his mid-40s, formerly of Rheinfeld. He had a heart attack yesterday. For his family, for him personally, for the doctors, for wisdom. Christmas is a time there are sick people. There are people that die during this time. And to remember to pray for those people. And so if we could especially remember to pray for Abe Peters. And so we're going to take a time here to kneel for silent prayer. And then after that, we'll have a couple of songs from the song leaders. Could we kneel? Could you kneel with me? The Lord is gracious to us and hears our prayers.
Take the red hymn book, turn to page 68. Thou didst leave thy throne. Number 68, for those that are able, let's stand.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come, there is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang of thy birth and thy royal decree. But in lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in greatest humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking and storm and with crown of thorn did they take thee to Calvary.
Room in my heart. We have room for all kinds of things in our heart. Is there room for Jesus? So we want to continue with this text, Luke 1, especially verse 28. The angel comes to Mary and says, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." So for me, we see something amazing here. God has chosen Mary to be the mother of the Son of God, to give birth to Jesus, to raise Jesus, to have God's Son in her home. Can we imagine? Like, a lot of us have children, have raised children. Some of your children are older and aren't at home anymore. And so maybe you're at the time of life where you love it when your children come home and you don't mind it when they also leave. But This is something incredible. The Son of God is going to live in this lady's home. She's going to give birth to the Son of God. And I've asked myself, like, why did God pick Mary? Was she special? Was she better than other women? And this verse actually answers this point. It says, "Thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." In the Bible, we have one word for that sentence, and it's called grace. It's the favor of God that we don't deserve. You and I, we're not good enough. We don't do enough good things. We don't avoid enough sin to have that grace. But God's grace comes to this young Jewish virgin to start the Christmas story. The best story in the world, the first time told. What is grace? It's this gift that's undeserved. We don't know why we're getting it. We know we deserve it. We don't deserve it. We know we can't earn it. And it comes from God. Grace, some people say it's God's riches at Christ's expense. And this was an example of that where Jesus Christ had to leave the splendor of heaven and come down to earth to be here with us. See, I don't actually believe Mary had done anything to deserve this special honor, to give birth to God's Son. There's groups of people today that pray to Mary, that Mary was a special person, we should revere her. And God did have a special plan for her life. That is true. The Bible says that. But the Bible never teaches that we should pray to her as a deity. And when we do that, we actually commit idolatry because we're worshiping someone else other than God. But God, the Bible does teach that she was special. And let's not take anything away from that. She was special because the angel of the Lord came to her. She had found grace in the eyes of God. And you know, that's actually exactly the way our salvation starts. It starts with this word grace. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We accept the free gift of God. Often when I'm explaining the plan of salvation to someone, I give this example of, you know, you give a Christmas present, and what do your children do with a Christmas present? Do they say, well, should I pay for this? Have any of your children ever asked you that? I don't think so. Do they say, well, Mom and Dad, I don't really want this. Sometimes we have spoiled children that may do that, but hopefully not. We accept it with joy. It's ours. And you know what? Your son or daughter that gets this Christmas gift doesn't say, well, is this for me? They say, thank you. Wow, for me? Especially for me, you thought of me. That's how salvation is. God thought of you. It's the grace of God, the presence of Jesus Christ that changes you. Now that grace, the Bible teaches it's for all men, but you and I have a choice whether to receive it or not. It's his gift, but you and I can choose to accept that gift. Titus 2, verse 11 says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Salvation starts with the grace of God. And what does it say? It says it's appeared to who? The chosen, the few? It says to all men. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." It's that free gift that we don't earn, we don't deserve, but God, in his favor, in his great love to us, sent Jesus Christ. That's the Christmas story. This, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, we were dead in our sins. This is not like you had hope. Maybe you were going to make it, and you needed a little help. The Bible actually says you were dead in your sins. D-E-A-D. And Jesus came And through his grace, you can be alive and living in him. That's the Christmas story. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says this, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That's God's gift to you this Christmas. What are you doing with that gift? See, once we've received it, there's actually a responsibility in our life to have fruit that also comes through Jesus. At Christmas, when we have many gifts, let's remember the greatest gift, the gift of salvation through grace. And my prayer for you personally would be that you would never forget about that greatest gift. And you would never forget that it comes through God's grace. Sometimes as Christians, we get to this point in our lives where I'm doing pretty good. My life has changed. My relationships are better. And somewhere in the back of my mind, maybe I'd never dare say it out loud, but I think I'm earning it. And I think sometimes we need reality. It's the grace of God that gives us salvation through the love of Jesus Christ. Listen to the response of Mary, verse 29. And I think it's often the response that we have when we hear this greatest news ever. And when she saw him, Luke 1:29, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She sees the angel, the messenger of God, and she's troubled. She's never had an experience like this before. She's never seen an angel before. Probably the way you and I would react in this situation. And I think sometimes the first time we hear the message salvation, it does the same thing to our heart. It troubles us. If I would ask you the first time you heard the message of salvation, how many of you accepted the first time? Anybody? Every now and then I get one or two hands, but most times we have to hear that message over and over again, and we have somebody that loves us enough to tell us over and over again. But Mary hears this message the first time, and it troubles her, just like it does us. When we realize I'm a sinner, and without Jesus, I'm on my way to hell, that troubles us. That causes our heart to stir. So what's the answer to that? That trouble in our heart, that realizing I'm going to come short. I'm not going to make it. I'm not good enough. It's the same answer as the angel told Mary 2,000 years ago. Let's read further. Luke 1:30 to 33. Mary's heart is troubled. The angel says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Here's again this idea of grace. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." The message is told. Mary is troubled. The angel says, what's the answer? It's the same answers we have today. The good news, the best news told the first time at Christmas was Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, the angel of the Lord tells Mary what's going to happen to her body, what's going to change her life. And God wants to have this same kind of communication with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to love you. He wants to show you and tell you the plan he has for his life, for your life. What was the news? The news that was that Jesus would be born as a baby. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus as the King of Israel. It's interesting, in this prophecy, the Christmas story told the first time ever in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the angel of the Lord says, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's a promise. Not my promise, God's promise. So if we look at what is happening in Israel today and the war that's going on and the nations that are fighting in them, and even in America and Canada, people standing against Israel, You know, that is not what God, not what God's plan is. God's plan is that Israel will be forever. That land was given to them, and one day Jesus Christ will reign. That's the promise. But the news for Mary was that Jesus would be born. God himself would live in her. Again, when we hear that news of salvation, what does it do in our heart? Did we believe it? Did we reject it? Were we curious about it? And then once we accept that news, well, how does it change our heart? Is it something that when I hear this great news, I want to tell everybody? In Canada, you have this place called Tim Hortons. And that's where the news goes around. Or wherever it is, wherever you meet. I don't know if it's still Tim Hortons, but it used to be. Is it the best news ever told, or is it your news that you think is important? And we have different things. That's what relationships are built of. I may talk about my farm. I may talk about my family. I may talk about my children. That's positive. That's good. I'm not against that in any way. But does the news of Jesus Christ ever come up? Is that something you're willing to share with the people in the world? As much talk at Christmas time. Are you ready for Christmas? You cleaned your house? What did you buy? When are the children coming over? And all these things. What are you doing for decorations? And I'm not against any of the things, putting any of these things down. I think they're positive. They're good at Christmas time. But ask someone this Christmas, what's Jesus doing in your life? Or be willing to tell somebody this Christmas what Jesus is doing in my life. If I asked you personally, and I knew your name, and I said, come stand up here for 2 minutes and tell me what Jesus has done in the last year in your life, what would you say? What would be the news you would tell? Would you have anything to say? See, this news that is, we say it's the greatest story ever told, and if we really meant it, we'd actually share it. Because I don't know a lot of you personally. Some of you I know a little bit. I know enough about people that things that are important to them, they share. And they want to share them. Nobody has to make them. This is not about you doing it for the pastor or for somebody that's trying to motivate you to do it. This is because Jesus Christ lives inside of you and you want to share it. It's that gift. So the angel comes to Mary. Mary is troubled. The angel has an answer for her trouble. It's Jesus Christ, just like Jesus is the answer today. And then Mary has a question. And it's a really, really good question. Verse 34. And it's the same question that many people ask before they accept Christ. Verse 34 says, then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this happen, this impossible thing? Mary understands how babies are born. She understands that it's earthly, through earthly means it's impossible for her to have a baby at this time, that it can just come through the hand of God. And she's right. Earthly thinking, fleshly thinking, it was impossible for her to have a baby. Never before in the course of history had a virgin had a child. Never after either. It's a one-time occurrence in the history of the world. It's a Christmas miracle. God coming down as flesh, born of a woman who had known no man. But we know with God all things are possible. This text actually tells us that. In fact, can I tell you something today? God loves the impossible. God loves the impossible. Pray for something that's impossible. Pray for something that you have no idea how earthly wise it should happen. Pray for that friend that's so against salvation and you don't give up on praying for that person. You think it's impossible. God loves things like that. Because God can do miracles. Nothing is too hard for him. Our earthly salvation is a little bit like exactly this situation with Mary. We ask ourselves this question, how is this possible? All of a sudden, we come face to face with the mirror and we see, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I can't make it. When I stand before heaven's door, I'm going to have nothing if I don't have Jesus. Maybe you've asked yourself that question. Because you know yourself and you're honest with yourself, how can it be that God loves me? How can it be that Jesus died for me? Salvation should be impossible for us as humans. But exactly this man that came to earth 2,000 years ago, born of Mary, a woman who had never known a man, this baby who is about to be the savior of the world, he made the impossible possible. He wants to give you this gift of new life. It is because of him that people repent and believe and are saved and have eternal life. It is why we have baptisms, why we have church, why we have people that come to the Lord. It's only through him. I'm a high school teacher in Seminole, Texas. And if you don't know anything about public school, it's also a mess. And the things the students are in and the screen time that they're on their phone and the apps they see and the movies they watch, they're vile, evil, demonic. And I'm not over-exaggerating it when I say these words. And those people God loves. And I see every year the salvation of some of their souls. Some of them turn from what they were in, and they say, God, I need you. My life is a mess. I realize I'm lost. I need Jesus. That's a miracle. In the world we live in today, that someone says, I accept the love of God. Salvation should be impossible except for God and Christmas. Mary had questions. But look at the answer the angel gives. And you notice the angel does not put down her question. He doesn't demean her. Doesn't say, well, why are you asking only you of little faith? This is not what the angel says here. The angel gives an answer to Mary's question. Verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Of God. My friends, this is how the impossible becomes possible, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the picture the angel gives Mary. She says, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, the shadow of the Almighty. What do we know about a shadow? Like, my shadow only comes about like 2 feet. That means that person is right beside me. He's there. That's God in Mary's life. And my friend, that's how God wants to be in your life. That shadow of the Almighty still wants to be over you. The power of the Holy Spirit wants to live in your life. And that's how the impossible happened that first Christmas. That a virgin could be with child, that she could have a son, and his name would be Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God dwelling in us. This Jesus, who the Bible calls Emmanuel, which means God with us, would be born of Mary because the Spirit of God would come into her life. And that's actually how salvation happens in our life. We repent, we believe, the Holy Spirit starts working in our heart. We make a decision and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's what changes our lives. He's what leads and guides us. He teaches us, the Bible says, all things. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's the one that seals our salvation. I wonder, are you being led by the Spirit? What would you say? We're almost at the end of the year, 2023. Led by the Spirit or led by the flesh? The wonderful thing for any Christian in this room is that as long as we put our faith in Jesus Christ, his Spirit lives in us and he wants to lead and guide us. And he's promised to never leave us or forsake us. This world has trials, troubles, sickness, disease, a lot of sad things. But God's Spirit, when it's with us, He's promised to never leave us, forsake us. When we repent of our sins, the Bible says God forgives us our sins, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and then the new birth happens. What was dead is now alive. The Bible says a new creature was created. Old things are past, all things have become new. How? Through the power of the Spirit. And then look what the angel says to Mary to help her believe. So she tells her it's going to happen after Mary asks the question, how is this possible? Then the angel has something important to her to say that I think should speak to us today. Verse 36 and 37. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So it should have been impossible that Elizabeth had a son as well, but she's supposed to have a son. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. This proof that a miracle could happen was that a miracle was happening. My friends, one of the most powerful things about your salvation is your testimony that you can say how God has worked in my life. How you can tell the story of what Jesus has done, how He's changed you, healed you, made you free, given you eternal life. I often think when sharing the gospel, one of the things that convicts souls is the difference Jesus has made in my life. Again, not because I'm special or because Wes Heppner has it all together, because he doesn't, but because Jesus lives inside of me. And that's the miracle of Christmas in our hearts. Our salvation, what God has done, and what God continues to do. I wish as a believer, you could be an encouragement to those that are around you. You would have that Christmas joy, not just December 25th or around Christmas, but that joy of Jesus would live in your heart each day of the year. The angel knew it would be an encouragement for Mary to know that her cousin Elizabeth had this miracle happening. And my friends, God still does miracles. God still does amazing things. Keep telling people what God is doing in your life. Keep asking people what God is doing in their life. Make your life about the kingdom of God and what God is doing in the world. And so after all of this, Mary finds grace. That's how salvation starts, through the grace of God. She hears the truth of salvation. Jesus is coming, the same Jesus that still changes lives. She wants to know how it's possible. It's only possible that this miracle happens through the Spirit of God, just like being born again happens for us today. Look at the answer that Mary gives, the evidence that the Spirit is in. Mary says in verse 38, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So as a Christian, what is my response after I'm saved? Like, why are you still here? Why didn't God take you to heaven the moment you were saved? And I hope this Christmas you can say exactly what Mary said. God, be it according to your word. I'm your handmaid. I'm your servant. Whatever you want for my life, I'm here to serve. Salvation is the beginning of our Christian life. It's not the end. It's the beginning of our time of service. It's the beginning of the time when we bear fruit for Jesus Christ, for His kingdom, through His love, through His Spirit. Everything changes when we have Jesus. And you know who is a perfect example of that? Jesus. He says, I'm come to serve, not to be served. He was there for the sick, the lame, the leper. He says, what you've done for the least of these, that's what you've done for me. Somebody that can't pay you back, won't pay you back, maybe laughs in your face, you say, I'm here to serve that person. Jesus says, if you give a child a cup of cold water, that will not be forgotten, that will be rewarded. The mother of Jesus had the spirit of a servant because the Holy Ghost lived inside of her. And I pray that you as a Christian, you've accepted Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God lives inside of you, and that same spirit of being a servant is inside of you. Be it unto me according to your word. Christmas is about Jesus. The angel said this to Mary, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That Jesus. So to close this service, I'd like to read about Jesus. One of the greatest poems that I know, it's called The Indescribable Christ. And just so that we know, at the end of this service, it's all about Jesus. So maybe you can just listen and understand who Jesus Christ is. It's written by Dr. S.M. Lockridge. It's called He's My King. The Bible says, my king is a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven, he's the king of glory, he's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomena that's ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea of literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He's, yes, he is. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? Well, my king, he is the king. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. Yes, he is. He is God. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hand. You can't live without him. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. Yes, that's my king. That's my king. Yes, and thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And how long is that? And ever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, amen. Let's bow our heads for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus. We thank you that we can have Christmas because Jesus Christ was born. That we can have salvation because he died and he rose. Lord, help us this Christmas to share that good news of our salvation, of what you are still doing in our life, the miracle of new birth. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person here in this room that they would have the joy of Jesus. And if there's anyone in this room that's never accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that you would draw their hearts and that today they could accept your free gift of salvation and have the best Christmas ever. Heavenly Father, thank you for the first time you sent this news to Mary and how you give us that picture of salvation that is only through your grace, through the power of your Spirit, that we can be your children. Heavenly Father, I wish each person here a blessed Christmas time with family and friends, and that you would create Christmas as a spiritual time in their lives, and that the joy of Jesus would be in their heart. I pray this in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have, again, a closing prayer where you can pray silently on your knees. Again, a reminder to pray for Abe Peters as he's in the hospital. He had a heart attack. And maybe there's something else on your heart that you'd like to pray for at this moment. Maybe just thanking Jesus Christ for who he is. So would you kneel with me where it's possible for silent prayer? God is gracious to us, and he hears our prayers.
From the Blue Book, number 93, Away in the Manger. Number 93.
The stars in the sky look.
Silent Night, Holy Night out of the Blue Book, number 87. Number 87 in the Blue Book. And for those who are able, let's stand.
Thank you for the singing. Singing is a wonderful part of the service. It prepares our hearts, and I think that was a nice touch to sing that a cappella, Silent Night, Holy Night. Thank you, each one of you, for coming. I'll take maybe 1 minute just to talk a little bit about the gospel message. I'm the radio pastor for the gospel message. How many of you listen to that every once in a while or have heard it on CFAM? Okay. We have a low German program. We also have a 15-minute English program that's on Sunday evenings. I know for some of you, a certain time may not work, and so we also send it out electronically. We have WhatsApp groups and different things like that, and so we're here to serve. We're here to spread the message of the gospel. Our goal is to reach the lost, teach the saved, all in the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And so if you have any questions or anything regarding that, please feel free to ask. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support in that, and may the Lord bless you for that. Merry Christmas to each of you. Hope you have a wonderful, blessed time with family and friends, and really make Jesus the reason for the season. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. You may depart. Tomorrow morning, there's one service at 10 o'clock. I forgot to say that. That's my fault. Have a Merry Christmas.